looks like we're in round number 14 as far as these lessons go, and we're going to start in verse 14 of chapter number 4. That's pretty neat. And we're going to go through the end of the chapter, and we may get there to the end of the chapter. We may not. That's okay. I know you got at least me. You have me at least for one more Wednesday. And of course, the part that's coming up next is just, if you'd read ahead, you'd say, oh man, this will be interesting how he handles this. Verse number 14 in chapter number 4 of 1 Corinthians, it's written, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Jesus Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity one more time, Lord, to be in the pulpit. Father, I thank you for helping me with studies today and days in the past. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you just get my flesh out of the way tonight. Lord, I pray that you help me physically. And Lord, just have your will in your way. Let your words, that come out of my mouth be guided by you. And I pray that you control my stammering tongue, bind Satan and his workers from hindering the service tonight. And Father, we just sure do thank you for our church folk. And help us tonight as only you can. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We left off last time with Paul and some sarcasm to the church at Corinth. Paul started out in the lesson before that the most important judge over him was the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has to answer to him, and that, well, it's kind of like those bracelets that we used to have a while ago. If we would heed to them, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And we had those, and that's pretty much Paul, how he lived his life. He said, I'm going to stand before the Lord one day for everything I've done. He's the one I think of whenever I do things, whenever I say things with my attitude. And then he talks to the church about, with the sarcasm, about how they thought they were in need of nothing. They were full. They were had enough teaching. They didn't need Paul. They didn't need a preacher coming in. Just stay away. We're fine. Just where we're at. We're full. We're okay. But then he goes into verse number 14, and he says, I write these things not to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Paul's desire wasn't to embarrass the Corinthians. He didn't want to do that. They were his beloved children in the faith. When you think about it, Paul probably led most of them to the Lord, and they were like his children. In verse 15, it says, I have begotten you through the gospel. So Paul, no doubt, had led most of them to the Lord. They were like his children. And whenever we look at that, it kind of makes the sarcasm that he was putting forth towards them not quite so harsh. Paul, no doubt, had been sarcastic in the previous verses that we went over last Wednesday, but he did it because he loved them. Kind of like when we use sarcasm with a child or a wife or a loved one when we're trying to teach them or warn them of something. A lot of times we might use a little sarcasm if it's somebody that we love, that we know, that we're bringing up. Like I said, wife, children. Paul uses sarcasm because their acts, the things that they were doing, were so obvious to anyone who could think that he wanted to save them from real shame. He was taking care of this now so that it wouldn't manifest into something bigger in the future. He he was kind of nipping it in the bud, as the saying goes. And I never understood that for a long time until I figured out, well, that's what it meant. As soon as it comes to bud, you get rid of it and it doesn't grow anymore. It doesn't manifest in anything else. But that's what Paul was using with that sarcasm, because what they were doing was so obvious. He had to warn them, as it's written in Proverbs, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. He writes to them as his beloved sons. He cares for them. And he didn't want to see them fall. So he sends them that bit of sarcasm and also in this letter some correction for things that need to be done. Verse number 15 is Paul's warning. Paul's getting to the Corinthians here. Don't ever forget it's about Christ and not men. That's what we need to keep our heads and our hearts. It's not about men, but it's about Christ. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Colossians 2, verses 5 through 10. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Paul's writing to the church in Colossae, and he's telling them, I'm enjoying your steadfastness in Christ. Your stand that you're taking, you're not quitting. That church knew that it was all about Christ and not about men. Verse number 6 in Colossians says, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him. I love that word rooted. I know that whenever we were landscaping, we'd whack off and a lot of stuff at the ground, shrubs, trees, and things like that. And I experienced some of it just a few days ago, some stuff that we'd cut. And go back, and what happens? It comes up again. And I'm like, well, that should have died. We cut it off at the trunk. We cut its lifeline off there. But what we didn't realize is that the roots of that plant go much deeper. That's where a lot of the nutrients and stuff like that and a plant's held is in the roots. If you got good roots, chance of survival is very good. Rooted and built in him, established in the faith. Even if ye has been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men. It's not about man, it's about Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye complete in him, which is the head of all principality and of power. It's not about man, but it's about Christ. Now, I'm not going to contradict that, because Paul's going to say something about following him here in a minute, but we'll get to that in just a second here. Verse 16 of the 1 Corinthians, back where our text is, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. And there it is. Paul's saying, be followers of me, because they didn't have Jesus Christ walking the earth just then. They had Paul. And Paul would tell them in verse number 17, bring you to remembrance of my ways which be in Christ. Paul wasn't saying it's not all about me, but he was turning everything towards Christ that he was doing. Paul's not putting himself in Christ's place, but says, I follow Christ, therefore follow me. I'm going to be your walking example here, and you can follow me and the things that I do, Paul found favor with the Lord in the things that he did. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul's saying that he's not lifting himself up. That's what he's trying to get away from and teach the Corinthians here. It's not about man, but look, if you want to walk an example of what a Christian is, just follow me. Walk after me. Be a follower of me. Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Galatians 4:12, "Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are." Paul is showing us that it's possible. I'm the walking proof. You can be human. You can be in these bodies of flesh and still be Christ-like. It's not about trying to keep the law. It's not about trying to just to do good. But he's like, just follow me. We can be Christ-like if you just put your mind and your heart to it. Philippians 3, 17 through 19. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Paul tells them, look around and find other Christians. "For many walk whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul's trying to tell them, I'm a decent example to follow. But it's not about me, it's about Christ. Then he goes on in verse 17 and he says, "For this cause I have sent you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. He'll should bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." I had down here, and it came to my mind, the preacher Timothy that's being sent, that if you send somebody, they better have the stuff. What I mean by that is they better be somewhat knowledgeable in the Bible. They need to be in their Bible reading. I mean, we're not all Bible scholars, but we need to be reading. Paul says, I'm going to send you Timothy. And Timothy's got the stuff. He does. If you want to grow spiritually, find you a Paul or Timothy to spend time with. Whenever you're looking for people to spend your time with, and I encourage our young people all the time, find somebody that makes better choices than you do. Find somebody that's uplifting and encouraging. Because what's going to happen is you're going to start to be like them. If we get out with worldly people, they will no doubt sway us in the decisions that we make, the way that we talk, the way that we act. I mean, I can remember making friends with some people. And even though I knew better and had been taught better, I went down their path, made wrong decisions. You will become who your friends are. You'll start to talk like them. You'll start to act like them. Mainly, I know whenever it was, well, all through life, just not when you're younger, you're looking for favor with them. And you're not going to do that by opposing them. So if you want to be friends with them, you're going to start doing what they do. But I always encourage people to find a Paul or a Timothy, find somebody that loves the Lord. And I promise you, they'll be doing their best to make good decisions, to make decisions that please the Lord if they truly love Him. Children are going to remember their teachings. Whenever Paul sent Timothy, who's my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child. And that train up means just to exercise, to discipline, to teach, and form by practice. There's a lot of people that might look at this verse and say, well, I tried to teach him, but did you train him? Did you actually walk the walk in front of him? Or did you just tell him what to do and what not to do and leave it at that? There's a whole lot that goes into that little word, train. To train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. But I started thinking about what a testimony for Timothy. I'd read several places in the Bible and looked him up. It started when he was a child. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, that's sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. Paul's writing to Timothy here. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. It started with Timothy when he was young. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Apparently, Timothy got it right. Apparently, Eunice and Louise did the right kind of training. But as I was looking at his testimony, Philippians 2:9 says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may also be of good comfort when I know your state. And then Paul says this, for I have no man like-minded. Paul doesn't know anybody else that's got a heart after the Lord like Timothy. He says, I've got no man like-minded. None of the preachers that I'm sending out, none of these brothers, nobody, except for Timothy. I thought, what a testimony for Timothy's walk. Because it's not about man, it's about Christ. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. First Corinthians 4:17. It says that Timothy will bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach in every church. So Timothy's been going around with Paul and learning from him, watching him preach, watching him help and train the churches. And sure enough, because of who he was hanging out with, that's who he started to become. Christ-like, more Christ-like, by spending time with Paul and traveling all around with him. You will become who your friends are. Paul tells us to remember his ways, which are Christ's ways. Paul says, now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will. And will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. And I got stopped there today, and I was looking, and that word just jumped out at me today about that word power. And you know, we need God's power present in our lives, not just for ourselves, but to influence those around us. We need that power of God in our lives. In Luke 5:17, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. There were lots of religious people there, but there wasn't any power until Jesus showed up. Now, my wife and I, we've been to places where there's lots of religion, but there's no power. We need God's power present to see people saved. We need people with that power who can lead someone to Christ. We need Christians that can pull someone out of the fire and who can make a difference. That's what kind of Christians we need. A Christian with God's power on them is able to do that. A Christian with God's power on them will be a soul winner. There are so many people who can be reached, who need to be reached, who are wanting to be reached. As Jesus said, the fields are white to harvest, but the laborers are few. And the problem is we can't even be saved and be working out in the field without God's power present. Salvation takes power, God's power. I can't do that. I can't operate on the heart. There's no way. I can't open the eyes of the blind. I can't save anyone. But I sure can be a vessel that God uses to help people be saved through His power. Church, we need to pray that the Spirit of God come on us and transform our lives and impact everyone around us that we can influence. If you read Acts, you'll see that the apostles and believers and the early church had God's power on them. The Bible, it's written, they turned the world upside down. People got saved everywhere. Lives were changed, sins were forgiven, and they had the boldness from God. They had Holy Ghost power on them, which could not be denied. Acts 4:31 says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word with boldness. I hope that God could use you to shake things up, to use you to speak the word of God with boldness wherever you're at in your life. But we need to get this power back. There's many that's become cold and dark and dead with no power on us, and the world knows it. They know when the power is gone, and when it's gone, you're about as helpless as old Samson. People know when there's power there, and they also know when it's not there. Do you want the power of God in your life to honor Jesus Christ, to see people saved from hell? It's going to take the power of God to see people saved. And the Bible tells us where that power of God is today. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's a lot that's lost the power because they've abandoned the gospel of Christ. We've become disconnected from the power source by getting caught up in the world. There's a lot that have done that. We've become so busy, so occupied, so distracted, so well off, so content, so satisfied, so indifferent, so apathetic. Wasn't it better when the power was on? When your household appliances are disconnected from the power source, guess what? They don't work. Christianity without power of God doesn't work. It can't give any light because it has no power. There's many that look Christian, sound Christian, appear to be Christian, but sad imitations of a Christian. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, he said, from such turn away. You're going to be who, like, you hang around, whoever your friends are. Now, in the workplace, the power of God, is it present there? In your friends' group, is the power of God present in you? How about in your family? Do you want the power of God present? Why isn't it present when you're there? We should have God's power on us, and we can have this power to see other people saved. But it's been missing for so long without the power, but trying to live without power and in our power, which is powerless. And that's why we're seeing being overcome by this world and the flesh and the devil in our lives. Is the power of God present where you are? It just has to be present. And it can be present, and it should be present in you. We're God's dwelling place. You've heard me say that many, many times. The Spirit of God has been poured out on all who believe. And it's through us as yielded vessels to God that the gospel is spread in this world. Look at your own life. Has your life been powerless? Has it been a powerless witness? Has it been a powerless testimony? Has it been a powerless conversation? Have you had a powerless word? Luke 4:32 says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." I've said it before, and it's just so weird. Well, I'll say that whenever certain people get around Christians. Christians that read their Bible, Christians that pray, Christians that love Jesus Christ, Christians that have power in their lives. And to watch people around them, because you can tell that there's like the good and the evil. And it clashes. You can see it on their face. The ones that aren't saved, the lost, the ones that are out of the will of God. But when somebody is around them that has that power of God on them, it's amazing to see what happens. So we need that power back. We need God's power on us through the Holy Spirit. How do we get this moving again? There needs to be a rushing wind. We need to pray for God to move in our lives. The verse in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria under the uttermost parts of the earth." I hope you've received the power. I'm not talking about fake Christian power. I'm talking about the real thing, power from God to share the gospel, spread the gospel, and to see people repent of their sins and be saved. The way that we get this power is to wait on God. It's not us moving, it's Him moving. We move, then He moves. Jesus Christ told them that they had to wait for Him at Jerusalem. And it's trying to, instead of trying to work it up and create it ourselves, we need to make sure that we're in obedience to Him, doing what He's got for us to do according to His word. And that's when the power will come. But the world tries to choke out the powerless Christian. I truly believe souls are going to hell because of the powerless Christian. There is no power present to see people saved. There is no healing power. We need to get back to the Bible. Get back to the common salvation and the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Preach repentance towards God and the faith in Jesus Christ, not looking for new ways and means, instead rebuild the old gate that Nehemiah did. We also need some power present, and we need some present power. We must have it. We've had more than enough of fake imitation Christianity. We've had more than enough of religion that resembles the real thing, but it's not. Instead of denying the power, how about we let God be our strength and our might? God has the power. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." The secret of God's power, because it's God's gospel, God's salvation, and God's word. Less us means more power from God. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and then he had prevailing power only when his own power was crippled. It's not our power, it's Christ's power. My morning devotional was that wrestling match this morning with Jacob. Church, we need that power back. We need to all have the power of God in our lives so there can be power present in our workplace, in our family setting, in our friends group, in our marriage, in all the places we go and people we interact with. We need God's power present to make a difference. And as we wrap this up tonight, verse number 21, Paul just states, has this question, what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? Jesus' commandment. See, Paul's not saying follow after me. He said, I'll set a good example for you, but we need to have our eyes on Christ. Because Jesus is the one that said, my commandment is that you love one another. Paul was transferring that to the church. Can I come to you in, should I come to you in love or in spirit of meekness, lowliness, humbleness, or would you rather have me come with a rod and just lay the smack down on you? He got a lot more accomplished showing love than he would with an iron fist, so to speak. So church, thank you for your good attention tonight as we wrap up chapter number 4. Chapter number 5 will start next time. My little heading.